So very excited for this episode of Listen to Mario. Mario Lopez here. I got my buddy Oscar De La Hoya joining me. I'm going to tell you some untold stories from back in the day. But Oscar, of course, is the golden boy, pride of East L.A., 10-time world champion, and really just has a pretty amazing life from start to finish. I want to get his thoughts on the big fight, of course, coming up this weekend with Canelo and Jacobs. That's going down in Vegas at the T-Mobile Arena. Huge event, happens every Cinco de Mayo. So let's get into it.
Listen to Mario.
De La Hoya. Welcome, brother.
Thank you.
I was trying to figure out how long we knew each other, and then I found the picture the other day, and it was the Hollywood Christmas Parade 1992.
Yeah.
You just won the gold medal, and I'm wearing an ugly-ass Christmas sweater.
Dude, I'm on my jacket.
Your jacket's cold as ice, because it was very Olympic-expired with all the different flags.
It was all the flags.
We were young, bro. We were 18. So that's like 30 years ago.
But why is everything oversized?
Yeah, well, that was the era,
sweaters,
dude.
The jackets.
That was Bill Cosby, you know, Cosby Show kind of era. But it's great. I can't believe. So, yeah, like almost 30 years later and, you know, love that we're still friends. But everything that's been going on since then, man. And I think the reason why we hit it off is, I mean, not only the same age, but both first generation Mexicanos. Your parents are from Jalisco.
Yeah.
Mine are from Sinaloa. But I remember watching you in the Olympics. I was always so proud. I was like, oh, man, he's, you know, Mexicano just like me, and he's like, oh, he's gonna do it. And then you won the gold, and I was like, oh, I was just like really proud. You know what I mean?
No, as the first one.
So it was, you know, it meant a lot, especially back then in Barcelona and the whole thing. And it's funny because I was like, I want to make it a point. I said to watch or try to go as many fights as I can. And I did go to a lot of your fights.
You went to a lot.
There's probably less that I missed. You know what I mean?
Growing up,
very few that I missed.
Let me ask you, which one was your favorite?
Well, I had a few, but the one that I'll tell you which one sticks with me that bothers me to this day, and we've talked about it a lot, is when you fought Trinidad. That was billed as the fight of the millennium.
Yeah.
And I snuck my ass into the first row. Because I didn't have first row tickets, but I stuck my head through the first row and I saw that whole fight. And people don't do this. I always say, like, not to talk like you're not here, but I always say Oscar's the last dude that fought everybody. He never ducked anybody.
Right, yeah, nobody.
He fought everybody at their peak. Trinidad, who was the most dangerous fighter at that time.
He was undefeated right?
Yeah, undefeated, at their knocking everybody out, and you fought him. And not just because you're my friend, but you outboxed his ass. And you won, in my eyes, 9-3. Wasn't even close.
So,
and that one pisses me off because they gave him, and it was a big Mexican-Puerto Rican kind of rivalry.
That's the one that if anybody were to ask me, like, you know, what do you regret in your career, like inside the ring? And, I mean, I don't regret anything because everything just happens for a reason and everything, you know, that's why we're here. And so, but that fight with Trinidad, if I can redo those 3 rounds, even then, I thought I won the fight with winning 8-9 rounds of the fight.
Yeah, I don't know where they got the other 3 rounds or four rounds, actually.
Well, because, look, in my whole career, I was never one to box. You know, I would always stay in front of you, and my fights were always exciting, you know. Mm. So those last 3 rounds that I boxed and moved from him, like that's the excuse. Like, well, you lost that fight. You boxed the last 3 rounds, you lost that fight. So, but I kind of regret it just a bit, man. I wish I would have knocked him out.
No, I know. But everybody who saw that fight, who really knows and is honest in themselves, know you won. Another one that sticks that I loved and I was there was when you fought Fernando Vargas, because there was so much. Well, actually, the thing that was funny about that is, like, I don't think you were tripping. Just that vato had a lot of animosity. You used to laugh about it. And, like, where's this guy? Why is this guy got so much anger?
You know what it was? He tried to
intimidate you.
Intimidate me, but. You know, it's like it's warfare, bro. It's like it's like this is war. So he's preparing his mind to, like, you know, just amp himself up, you know, to get as angry as he can, so when he steps in the ring, he can, you know, kick my ass, I guess.
Yeah.
But it obviously didn't work on me, you know.
That was
there's a crazy story with that. So during the weigh-in, right? You know how they had to separate us
because
we couldn't stay close to each other because, you know, it's like, if we get close to each other, I mean, who knows what's going to happen?
Chingazos.
So they built this long stage at the MGM in the arena there. Huge stage. I was on one side. He was on one side. and we had to weigh in separately. So I go in first, and there's like thousands of people there cheering me on, and Vargas comes in, and everybody's cheering for him, and you know, you get a few haters here and there, whatever, but he takes off his shirt. And this guy, I mean, I thought he was a freaking bodybuilder.
Yeah, he was.
This guy, I mean, he starts flexing. Oh! And I tell my brother who's next to me, I go, dude, I mean, damn, he looks ripped up. He looks like scary, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So right away, I thought to myself, okay, this is my last opportunity to intimidate him, to kind of like, you know, they say win the first round before the fight starts outside the ring. So I said, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? So when he looked at me, okay, when I had an opportunity, when he looked at me, he looks at me from way across the room, and I go like this. I point to my chin, okay, and I go like this, like as if I'm going to knock him out, you know?
Yeah.
And what does he do? He looks at me and he goes, he puts his head down, okay, as if he was intimidated, like I deflated the balloon, you know?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So right there and then I said to myself, I got him. Freaking got him.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, right there.
Well, and I remember too, he got popped for steroids. That, remember? Yeah, so you knocked his ass out all juiced up.
Yeah.
Because that was a hell of a fight because he came out strong in that first round. I remember he cut you a little bit in the first round.
He almost had me knocked out of the
I remember that vividly. And you were Bobby because Mayweather was your corner. Yeah. It's so funny, all the stuff that I remember. Yeah. And then he ended up getting pinched because he was juiced and you still knocked his ass out.
Two weeks later, the test came back.
That's why Homeboy was looking all ripped right there.
He was a freaking bodybuilder.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, I can go there just talk on the fights with Rafael Reyes and all the fights. And Chavez thing.
Check this one out. God. So the animosity still carried over, you know.
Yeah, that dude was angry for a long time.
He was angry, but check this one out. So I ended up calling his people, okay? Me personally.
After you knocked him out?
Yeah, after I knocked him out. 2 weeks after, I called his people. Hey, I want to have a meeting with Fernando. To patch things up, you know, like, dude, let's be friends here. We can do stuff together, you know?
Yeah.
So we set up a meeting in Pasadena, right? In a restaurant. We close the restaurant down, you know, it's big drama, you know, whatever. So I'm waiting inside the restaurant. It's during the day. And he comes in, he's wearing glasses and comes straight at me. And I'm ready to shake his hand. And the first thing he tells me is, You didn't beat me. You didn't beat me. You didn't knock me out.
Wait, what?
I'm like, dude,
delusional?
What are you talking about? Like, literally, I knocked you out.
Yeah, yeah.
No, you didn't beat me, dude. I want the rematch. And after like 5 minutes of that, I just got up and I said, you know what, dude? Good luck and we'll see you later.
He still was like, dude. Terco.
It was crazy. It was crazy.
Dang, dude.
But what's cool now is that we're good now. Yeah, we're good.
He's cool. He like found Jesus.
Yeah, and he did.
He found Jesus. He's all with his family now.
Man, he did.
Yeah, do you promote his sons by chance, or was that at one point?
I would love to.
That'd be a trip.
I would love to.
You're into promoting one of his sons right there.
I would love to. That would be crazy.
Oh man, but like I said, I could go like just talk for hours on all of Oscar's fights, just because I've seen him on. There's so many great stories with the Chavez fights, which we'll give him a little tease. I know there's going to be like a documentary just on that. In and of itself, right. Not to be confused with the upcoming documentary that Peter Berg, can I talk about that? Just a little tease?
Yeah, just
the Peter Berg, the famous director, is going to be doing a documentary on Oscar on HBO, which should be unbelievable. Can't wait to check out. But one thing, dude, going back to the beginning of the career, one of my favorite memories of us, because, you know, hey, look, dude, we're both young, Mexicano, we love girls. We love the party. But, you know, we still focus. We both had tough dads.
No, you have to. Yeah.
So one time, I think, was it your second or your third fight? It might have been your second.
It was my third fight.
Okay,
third fight. Yeah.
He scheduled a fight in San Diego at the San Diego Sports Arena. Okay. Then, why don't you
your
tell him, bro?
Yeah,
right in my neighborhood. Why don't you tell him?
Yeah, so.
Can I just say real quick, I love that before you even said what this was, he already knew.
Yeah, no, he knows.
Oh,
he likes the story.
I love the story. Yeah, like, I freaking love the story. So it was, I mean, the first time we had met, right, the Christmas parade,
with
the sweater and the jacket.
Right, right. I'm going to post that picture for throwback this week.
Oh, dude.
I'm going to post it for throwback
this week. Hilarious. And
So we stayed in touch.
So Mario is from Chula Vista, right?
Yeah.
So he's, you know, he's staying there, and I don't know if you heard about the fight or whatever that I was fighting there. And so I'm staying at this hotel. It's like little separate little villas, you know. It's and so I'm staying in one of those villas.
The little villas. Yeah. Oh, yeah. What a trip.
Little cottages, whatever you want to call them.
Yeah.
And so Mario wants to meet, and let's, you know, and I go, dude, yeah, hell yeah, dude, let's you know, hook up, whatever.
So he comes to my house, which is so cool. He came to my house in Chula Vista.
But check this one. Was it Thursday during the day? Yeah, we're hanging out at the cottage, started out with a trainer and all that, and we're talking. And so he gives me his number. Hey, call me, whatever. I'm like, yeah, dude, I'll call you after the fight or before the fight. We'll hang out. So that night I'm in the cottage, and I'm feeling this pain behind my leg. And I'm like, shit.
You're good. You say whatever.
I'm like, shit. I can't take this pain. I mean, let's call a doctor. So I tell my trainer, let's call a doctor. So we call a doctor. He's like 85 years old with like a little leather little bag, you know, like it was funny. He walks into the cottage and I tell him, hey, doctor, I'm like feeling this pain that just freaking like I can't even walk. It's that painful. And so he tells me, OK, lie down on the bed. Let me check it out. And he's touching my leg behind my leg here, and he's touching my leg. And he says to my trainer, oh, we have to operate. Like, we have to freaking operate, like, right away.
God's day.
This is getting infected. We have to operate, like, right away.
Just from touching it.
No, but it was, like, freaking hard.
Like a marble or something.
It was really hard, you know? And a good size, too. And so I'm already thinking in my mind, you know what? I can't fight. I can't fight. So I tell my trainer, let's go for it, man. Let's do it. I can't fight. Let's just call it a day. It's not worth it, you know? So the doctor gives me a towel to bite down on, okay? He tells me, Oscar, here's this towel. Bite down on it, okay? Let me put some local anesthesia on it, you know? Starts with the needles. There's like 5 little shots.
Yeah, yeah. Numbing it up.
And so my leg is all numb. And he starts carving a freaking hole the size of a quarter.
Wait, he's doing surgery in the
cottage. Oh, he's doing surgery in the
concierge
cottage.
Concierge doctor, dude, coming over.
Doctor. He's like 86 years old.
No, it only costs like $80. You know?
Plato from Tijuana. No, he's a real doctor.
It was
real
crazy.
Doctor.
So he carves out a hole about a quarter size and maybe about an inch deep. Okay? So carves it out, pulls it out and stuffs it with gauze and then tapes me up. And I'm like, oh, shit, like this. I mean, this is fucking, it hurts even more now than it did before. So he takes off. And so now me and my trainer who are in the room, we're figuring out like, shit, how do we tell the promoter, the manager, all the people that the fight's canceled? Like, that's it. I can't fight. And in the back of my head, I'm thinking, oh, you know what? I should call Mario. I want to fucking go drink. Yeah. You know? So I call this guy Mario. I call him up. And he goes, yeah, let's go to Tijuana.
Yeah.
So we go to Tijuana. We go to Tijuana. I mean, yeah. I don't know what time we fucking got back.
Dude, we went to Tijuana. So he called me up. I go, hey, I made sure. I said, hey, is the fight off?
Yeah.
He's all, the fight's off. Fight's I said, off. Are you sure, dude? I said, the fight's off? Yeah. I got a fucking my
leg. You have an open wound.
Yeah, no, I mean, he's not going to amputate it. I mean, he's fine, but he just can't fight, right? But I said, okay, it fights off. Fuck it. Let's go party. So we go to Tijuana.
No, you first gave me crutches.
Oh, that's right. My dad, yeah. So he comes to my house. My dad has a picture of him handing the crutches. I don't know. So random. So random. And so I say, let's go to Tijuana. And we go to Tijuana. And I think it was like college night, right? So there's all kinds of chicks and everything right there. And we do what young guys do. We partied and there's all kinds of girls. I remember I hooked you up with some girl and you had a good time. We'll just keep it at that rare, but you're single? There's nothing wrong with that. And so I was like, oh, homie had a good time. That was great. Wow, blah, blah, blah. The next day, why don't we come home late? 6 a.m, whatever.
Oh, dude.
So the next day he calls me and he says, hey, dude. They're making me fight. They're going to make me fight. I go, what do you mean they're making you fight? He's all, they're making me fight. Too much money was put into it. The whole arena, the they arena can't cancel. It was the arena sold out. It was a whole thing. It's going to be, I think it was on TV the whole day.
Oh, yeah. NBC, World of Sports.
Yes. It was televised. They can't. It's too much. I got to fight. I'm getting too much pressure. I go, wait, what? And so I was like freaking out because I was thinking, oh, my God. If, God forbid, he loses or something happens, this is, happens, on, me. Oh, this is on me.
My career's over.
He's not going to be able to, like, fucking play with me anymore.
He's never going to want to hang out.
I said, he's never going to come out. This is all going to come back. And I go, oh, my God, this could be crazy. I go, you sure you have to, bro? He said, yeah, I got to. So the dude goes in there, and then he knocks him out in the second round.
Yeah, it was hilarious, man.
Battle, hungover.
Oh, yeah, hungover.
And the whole
on
thing.
On crutches.
On the crutches. So I love that story. But think, he was young, obviously. Yeah. And you know what I mean? Yeah. We come I go, yeah. Oh my God, but that's my
it
favorite.
Was funny.
But the funny thing, turns out what it ended up being was an ingrown hair.
An ingrown hair.
I was going to ask.
Freaking ingrown hair.
Yeah.
It was an
out?
Ingrown hair.
Wow.
Dang. A nasty ingrown hair.
You got to quit shaving your legs, Mato.
Every time he sees me, he tells me about the pelo.
The pelo, dude.
It's a pelo in Spanish, yeah.
Dude, I was so stressed out. Can you imagine coming right there and all that?
It was funny.
So ever
dude,
since,
dude, my career would have been over.
I know,
imagine, dude.
That would have been, wow. That would have sucked. All the raza would have hated
of,
me,
all
dude.
Because of Tijuana and a pelo.
I know, dude. Tijuana and a pelo. Oh my God, that's a true story. That's a true story. So after the pelo, cut to, my boy goes on to have like this illustrious career, essentially turning into like the Latino Muhammad Ali, really. Because yeah. Never had had we had like. A young, you know, Mexicano with all the makings of kind of transcending the sport and getting women to watch, getting new subscribers to HBO and setting all kinds of records, all the pay-per-view records. And you know, you're responsible for making Mayweather a star, for making Pacquiao a star. There was none of that would have happened.
Oh, no.
I always tell everybody, then I say they fought Oscar. Yeah. None of that would have happened. Yeah, you like had all the
Mosley
platform.
Mosley and Hopkins.
All
and,
those guys.
You know, I like to say that, okay, I lost 6 times in my career. So I lost against Mayweather, Pacquiao, Mosley, Hopkins, Trinidad, but
two. If I interrupt you real quick, two of those. Mayweather, three of those. I'm sorry, Mayweather, Mosley, and Trinidad. To me, you didn't lose them.
Real
talk.
Thank you.
I'm just telling you as a friend.
Yeah,
I felt the other one. A couple
way.
Other ones. Yeah,
I feel the
but
same.
But those
way.
No.
Yeah, right.
Those no.
But the cool part is that I ended up promoting them.
I know.
Every single one
isn't
that
crazy?
Yeah, it's cool. I mean,
well, which speaks to the star power, really, because no other fighter has been able to transition and turn into
a promoter. Yeah.
Into promoter. That's what I want to start
Rocky.
With now.
Rocky did.
Rocky Balboa. Yeah. Yes.
Probably the
I've always wanted to be like Rocky.
Right, exactly. Who's been in a lot of your fights. Yeah, I've seen Stallone in a lot of those. So aside from, okay, now moving on from the career itself, because I know that speaks for itself. How difficult was it leaving Arum and actually wanting to start a promotional company?
Yeah,
for you, how did you wrestle with that, or you just thought it was time?
Bro, I mean, imagine you're with the biggest promoter, right? And back in those days, it's like it was only him and Don King, like Bob Arum and Don King, and they control the sport. And you know, it's like, you know, the fighter's the fighter and the promoter's the promoter.
Boom. Right.
Not like today, it's like everybody wants to be a promoter. So when I decided to call my lawyers and, you know, and I told my handlers, like, dude, it's time salud, cabrón. It's time that we you know, just break off from Bob Arum and Top Rank. So
who did you first tell?
I told Bob Arum. I told Bob Arum.
How did he receive it?
Oh, dude, he ripped me a new one, man. And he threatened me, and he this and that. No, and then you get the whole industry to start threatening you, like, oh, your career's over, and you know, and that's it, and you know, no more fights, and like your career's gonna be over. And I was like, no, it's not. I'm the one that's making Bob Arum, you know. I'm the one that's, you know, I won the gold medal. So the platform I had with that gold medal, with the being on the international, you know, freaking, and you know,
having that acclaim.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm making him. So I thought to myself, I mean, okay, you can threaten me, but I'm still going to get my team of lawyers. I'm going to, you know, do what's right. And so after
it's business at the end of the day.
It's business, but I wasn't one. I mean, and that's the reason why I fought everybody, because I wasn't one to take boxing as a business. Like, I always thought, okay, if I fight hard, then the business will come.
Right.
Instead of fighters thinking, well, let me do business first. So I can get some fights. You know what I'm saying? It's
no,
like
very smart.
Yeah.
Because the business followed. You're right.
Yeah, the business follows, bro. So cheers.
Salud.
Jesus.
Salud.
What time is it? Like 7, 8, 9?
Exactly. So yeah, Casa Mexico tequila.
You know what the beautiful part about this tequila is that
That's that
it's ours. Amazing. And that it's free.
It is amazing. It's ours, and it is amazing.
It's actually really good.
So you make this transition, and I was like, you know, as your friend on the side, always, so you know that I've always been supportive. I'm always cheering you on. I think that's awesome, man. But then in 2015, you hired a guy prior. Let me rewind. You hired a guy named Richard Schaefer.
Right.
And then who was a Swiss banker.
Yeah.
Right. Not really in the world of boxing.
Yeah.
You give him this wonderful opportunity.
Yep.
But then this guy decides to leave.
Right.
Did at that point, did you have like a come to Jesus moment? Did you think like, oh man, I have to maybe rethink all this? Were you worried about the company at all being in trouble? Or
well, look, I mean, it's like anything. It's like any business. You hire the proper team from the COO to the CEO, you know, and, mm-hmm. and you have your team you know, look out for your company and do things, you know, properly and correctly, and you're hoping that you can trust these people.
Yeah.
You know, and
you did that know, fool just get selfish? Is that what happened?
You know, they start thinking that they become the golden boy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's right. it's like anything. I mean, they start believing that, okay, well, I'm the one that's doing the work and doing the legwork.
I don't need this guy.
Yeah. Like I don't need the golden boy anymore. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So foolish.
It is foolish. It's sad because now it's like, I mean, we're still here stronger than ever, you know, because of the whole team that we have around us who has been loyal for so many years. But it's like, I mean, one person is not going to make us. You know right. what I'm saying?
No, exactly. That was a trying
it's
time.
It's all a team effort.
Yeah. I was glad to see you guys come out of the woods right there. And I've always liked the loyalty that you've had to your friends. And you found out a lot about loyalty, I'm sure, with your people too, right? It's always when you're at your like darkest times who find out who's got your back and stuff. And I love that you've been friends with Eric Gomez for a long time. Oh, since you were kids.
Since we were 5 years old.
That's awesome. I like
when he's now my president of the company.
I know. See, that's awesome.
But the difference is that, I mean, this might not be your typical, you know, normal business that is ran by, you know, corporate, you know, people and people you don't know and lawyers and this and that. This is a business that's it's kind of like a family business. If you really think about it, I've known Eric for since I was 5 years old.
Yeah.
Most of my colleagues, I've known them since I started the company in 2001. So we're all like family. Everybody takes care of each other. Everybody has our backs. You know, it's like, you know, you take care of each other. And yet, yes, I'm on the helm and I deal with Eric directly. But and there's certain instructions that I always give him every single day.
Right. But you have trust in him.
But I have trust in him.
Yeah.
That he'll take care of the job. If he doesn't take care of the job, then I got to get rid of him.
Yeah.
Easy as that. But I mean, I'll cut him some slack, but he still has to take care of business. I mean, that's why we've been so successful over these years. Yeah.
No, he's been doing a great job too. Amazing, so it's cool. It's cool.
It's incredible.
Well, not just that. I mean, you signed the biggest deal in sports with Canelo Alvarez recently with DAZN. How valuable is your own past in guiding guys like Canelo and guiding guys like Ryan Garcia? Because I mean, you're the perfect example of what to do. And do you were they young? Do they want to listen? Is this, you know?
I've been pretty fortunate that, you know, I promoted, you know, Pacquiao's fights and Mayweather's fights, and you know, and there were fighters that were already established. But when you get a fighter like Canelo, who you can work with and build,
the most gratifying.
My gosh, yeah. But then he has that same philosophy as you. Like Canelo wants to fight the very best.
Yeah, you're right.
He fights all the guys.
He does. Yeah,
and I'm sure
he's old school.
And I'm sure Ryan Garcia is going to be the same way. You know, when he's ready for that for the championship level.
Right.
So it's pretty gratifying because it's like, yeah, there's a lot of work to do. Like for instance, Cinco de Mayo, this week, this weekend's going to be huge.
Canelo
Jacobs, and there's a lot of legwork. There's a lot of that goes behind it. But when you have a fighter like Canelo that lends himself to accepting these types of fights, to doing the work, to promoting himself, like it's pretty gratifying.
I've always said about Canelo and why I really like him and I'm a big fan is he's a guy who he's always been very mature and smart beyond his years. And as he became champion, he continued to work hard. He continued to improve. Right. He looks better every fight. He knows how to handle it. He doesn't need, he's like a real champion's champion.
Yeah.
You know, he's a great look for that. And you forget he's young because all these other guys and like Errol Spence, like he's younger than these guys and already headlined all these pay-per-views and all this responsibility. It really is really impressive.
But you take a look at his resume. Okay,
dude, it's Hall of Fame worthy already.
It's crazy. Yeah, it is Hall of Fame worthy already. And he's not even close to being done.
No, he's not even 30.
you take a look at and this is what kind of pisses me off because you take a look at fighters like Danny Garcia, Errol Spence, whoever you want to name, even the heavyweight Deontay Wilder, and look at their resumes.
Yeah.
And it's not even close to what it should be. And meaning when I was promoting them, you know, it's like we had them on a great freaking, you know, right
track
on track to be great, to be superstars. You know, and so it pisses me off that there's so much talent wasted on these and they're taking these fights that just are meaningless, you know?
Yeah.
And then you have Canelo that has been super loyal to Golden Boy. We can work with him and guide his career the proper way. I mean, and that's exactly why he's the biggest draw. That's exactly why he's the most popular. Because we know how to promote. And I'm not, I mean, this is a pat on my back, but it's like, this is what we do.
Yeah, the team.
We know how to promote. I mean, I got Deontay Wilder to a world title. We took Danny Garcia to a world title. We were on the verge of making him a superstar, but, you know, they go with other people. They listen to other, you know, voices and then their career just goes, you know, downhill.
Why you wouldn't listen to somebody who's been there and done that and who you can have the blueprint to, doesn't make any sense
to me. Because again, we go to the business. They listen to the business first.
They take the short money. Don't look at the big.
Exactly. Look at the fight first. Yeah. Win the fights, you know, fight for passion, for legacy, and then the money will come.
What's the closest you've ever come to thinking about coming out of retirement?
Damn.
Because not for nothing, I think like when I saw when Floyd fought Conor McGregor, I think you even coming out right there, you would have knocked Conor McGregor's ass.
Oh, easy.
Like in the first three rounds.
Absolutely.
Because that fool's, I mean, right? Don't you feel that?
No, of course. But I mean, aside from Mayweather, you know, kind of carrying him.
Right.
For 10 rounds.
Right.
You know, and not knocking Conor. I mean, look, he's a fighter. I respect what he does in the octagon. But it's just a whole different game, man. It's like imagine who tried it. Was it Mike Tyson or somebody went into the octagon?
Oh, James Toney.
He got tapped out.
Yeah.
Like in 5 seconds.
Yeah.
It's two totally different sports, and there's respect in both.
Right.
You can knock any sport, but did
you ever like at any point after the Pacquiao fight?
It might have been the Mayweather McGregor fight. I said, you know what? I'm gonna try and make a comeback. So I wake up in the morning, that like Sunday morning after the fight that I saw with McGregor and Mayweather, and I'm waking up. I said, hey, I'm going to wake up at the time I used to wake up, you know, like 4 a.m.
Yeah, this fool gets up early still. He still gets up early all the time.
Yeah. And so I run about like 5-6 miles and I'm feeling good. I rest up a little. I go to the gym in the afternoon, a local gym there in Pasadena. I'm training, I'm, you know, hitting the heavy bag and jumping rope, and people are like, oh shit, that's De La Hoya. My God, what the hell is he doing? You know? So I go back home and, you know, I'm tired as hell and, you know, cooking a little dinner, whatever. I go to sleep. The next morning, bro, I couldn't freaking get out of bed, bro.
I couldn't get out of bed, man.
Exactly. That's what happens,
man,
dude.
Back problems.
I know.
The Bella was acting up again.
That's what happens when we're old. We feel good. The next time, I'm all sore right now, too.
Yeah.
Hey, dude. Hey, but you're a little bit of a dick. I'm going to tell you why. We did a charity event where I got to... I got to spar with Oscar for 3 rounds. This fool, he started warming up in the back. I'm all, oh shit, I know that look in his eye. He's like, well, hey dude, I had to remind him, hey, this is all for fun. And he was still, and this fool's still fast. And he gave me a couple quick jabs. I'm all, oh my God, that shit is fast. So when I come, remember we were in the charity event in Salt Lake City for Mitt Romney.
For Mitt Romney, But this guy, so Mario's in shape. I mean, you know, he you know, you grapple, he trains, he boxes, and I'm like, I flew in that night, or I flew in, I literally flew in that night from being hungover and shit. Okay, so I'm thinking to myself, like, shit, this guy, what can I do to like kind of like stop him, you know, because he's gonna come in, you know. And so he's putting pressure on me, and I'm getting tired. I got tired in 20 seconds.
By the way, it's altitude up there. We're hungover, and it's altitude. You get tired quick.
And so I'm tired in 20 seconds. I'm like, shit, fucking Mario, like, calm down, dude. And so I said to myself, what can I do to, like, kind of, you know, put the brakes on him? So I'm like, oh, I'm going to throw him a little jab, a stiff jab, and boom. And Mario's like, oh. And he still keeps coming. Fucking still keeps coming. It was fun, man. It was all for charity. It was pretty good.
It was fun. It was, hey, those hands are still fast. Fast as hell, though. I gotta say.
It's all instinct, you know. It's all.
Hey, also, you never broke your nose?
Never did, man.
Gosh damn, that's unbelievable,
never
man.
Never
that's,
did.
I'm looking at your hand. I go, you hardly didn't even get. I mean, but damn, you know, the fact you know that you never broke
your nose.
You know
what's
nose?
Crazy? I actually had my nose up here one time, like over here.
Really?
So after fights, I would just freaking bro. Yeah. I literally would have steaks, like cold steaks in my room.
Yeah.
After the fight and just put them all over my face, crack my nose back in place. But I never broke it.
I never asked you. Yeah. I was like, this, I don't think this fool ever broke it. Yeah, which, by the way, boxing your whole life to never have your nose broke is unbelievable. Yeah. And he wore the open headgear when he was sparring and training it all through the Olympics and everything. Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't know how I survived all those years, but
no, the good D right there. How's your relationship with your dad?
It's great now.
Has it evolved? Is it good now? Because I know homeboy was tough.
Bro, I mean, you know this. I mean, parents, dads, they're tough, man.
Especially
tough.
Mexican dads.
Like. Dude, it's like you try to look for the validation.
Yeah.
You know, and then as a kid you don't realize like. What he's maybe trying to do to your mind, to your, you know, your mental strength.
Yeah.
You know, he's trying to make you tough. He's trying to, like, you know, I'm not going to tell you you're great. I'm not going to tell you did good. I'm going to, like, tell you I want more, you know? And so he was that type of father. Like, he never told me, son, I'm proud of you. You know, like, I never heard those words.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I mean, now that he's getting older, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, now
did
he's
ever
like.
Did he ever tell you he loved you?
Yeah, he just did, like.
Barely right now?
Yeah. Like
my dad's never told me.
Like a couple months ago.
My dad's never told me.
But he was loaded. I think he didn't think it was me. I think he he was drinking Casa Mexico.
Hey, that's what it does to you. Tequila brings out the best right there.
No, I'll tell you something funny. So my dad's like 80 years old. And he still looks good. He's strong.
Yeah,
you know?
He looks good, dude. Damn.
So my sister calls me. This happened like a year ago. She calls me one night, like at 12 midnight. And she's crying. She's like, my dad, your dad. Oh, my God. I'm like, what happened? What's going on? Yeah, he just called me that he wants me to take him to a strip club. I'm like, take him, Jesus. He's 80 years old.
Oh, God bless him, man. That's why he looks good. Shit, take him right there, shoot. My dad. Oh, man. Right there. Okay, so there's hope. There's hope for my dad.
Oh, that's funny.
You know,
but that's the way they are, man. They're tough. They just, maybe they didn't grow up with that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, there's not. Yeah. I've learned to accept, like, I know he loves me. It's just, they don't.
Yeah. But you want to hear it.
I don't know. He hasn't said it.
I know he does. Now I almost feel like I'm guilting him. So now, like, you know what I'm saying? Now I almost feel like I'm guilting him ever. How often do you think about your mom?
Oh, every day, bro. Every day of my life. Yeah. It's crazy. Cause every day, you know, when you live an experience, whether it's in boxing, whether it's in business, whether I'm doing whatever, it's, you know, it's like, I always think about her like, man, I wish she was here to witness everything. You know, like I would be the type of kid that would have her around me like all the time.
Yeah.
You know, just so
well,
she
yeah,
can,
we're
just
Mexican
so she can
boys.
Live.
Let
yeah,
my
yeah,
mom
you know, yeah. yeah. And she would be a tequila drinker, so and she would love Casa Mexica.
Bring it in the room.
Right? Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that's yeah, how I know so. You're close.
Oh, it's crazy.
Well, you don't talk about it a lot because, you know, you're humble like that. But a couple of things that I think people should really know is that you built a hospital in your mom's name.
Yeah.
In your hometown, which is awesome. In East LA, right? Wyndham White Memorial, no?
The White Memorial Hospital. So that hospital has been there forever, yeah. right? It's a staple of the community. But it was one of those like white elephants.
You were born there too, no?
I wasn't born there.
Oh,
but
you weren't born there? Okay.
That's actually that my mother had her last and final treatments for chemo.
Got it.
At that White Memorial. But it was one of those hospitals where it's, you know, being Latino and it's like in the neighborhood, like women wouldn't go and get mammograms or go to doctors or because they would be intimidated.
Yeah.
You know, you see the doctors wearing their white little scrubs and whatever, da da da. And going into like this big, huge, you know, building, and it's like, I'd rather just stay home and you know, and exactly. I'll get over it, whatever.
Yeah, they don't go to checkups and stuff.
So what we did is when I got involved with it, I said, look, the only way I'm going to get involved with it and put my name on it and build a few wings and ta-da-da is that, you know, the staff and all the doctors, they have to be friendly and inviting and like a family. And that's the thing. That's the reputation we have at the hospital. That it's like it's family.
Very welcoming. Yeah, that's
very
awesome.
Welcoming. Yeah.
Another thing that's really cool too is the Oscar De La Hoya High School.
Yeah, bro, the high school.
We got a hospital and a high school. Damn.
Guess, oh, guess what our mascot is?
Oh no, is it?
The Boxers.
Ah, that's great. That's great.
Yeah, we have a boxer, bro. It's crazy.
Is that in East Los too?
That's in East Los. So.
That's tight. Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah,
that's tight.
I used to train at this old, they converted this old church.
I love that. Oh, but I'm glad you brought that up because I have a t-shirt of that. The church, not to interrupt you, but I love this. The Jimmy's trainer was an old church, and it was the church where Rocky, in the first Rocky, he's fighting Spider Rico.
All comes full circle.
It all comes full circle, right?
So the Jesus Christ that he, you know, in the beginning of the movie of Rocky, the first Rocky movie. That was the church. That was the gym where I used to train. So it used to be an old church. So then the city decided to tear it down.
Just in case.
We're
you
looking at
tomorrow, are you? Are you fighting
shots.
Tomorrow?
No, I'm good, I might make a comeback. So that church they converted into a gym.
That's awesome.
And so I used to train there as a kid, and I trained there for the Olympics, you know. So this I think it was the ex mayor Roy Ball from East LA. I heard from a grapevine after the Olympics when I won a few dollars that he wanted to sell it, and I was like, shit, okay, fuck, let me buy it.
Resurrection,
yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Resurrection gym. So I said, you know what, let me, I want to buy, there's history here. I trained here. I can do something great with it, you know? So I bought the church, and it so happened that there were like several homes around the church that were also being sold. I said, you know what? Let me buy several homes around the property as well. So we had like 2-3 acres around right there in East LA. And so we had to knock down the church and the gym, right? And I said, man, I mean, this, what can I do here that is, that can carry on the legacy, you know, and do something good for the community. So it so happened that this charter school, the Animo Charter High Schools, approached me because they needed land and they wanted to build a high school in East LA, you know? So I said, okay, fuck. So I donated the land and I came out of pocket and built a high school for them. And so it's the first high school in the last 70 years to be built in East LA, the first high school. So now, it's crazy. So we're now the Boxers.
I love that they're the Boxers. Dude, I love it.
Just last year we had a student get accepted to Yale.
Oh, look at that,
dude! Harvard.
Look at that.
Oh, it's
dude.
Crazy. I mean. Who would ever know?
Look
like
at that, dude.
Yeah,
that
it's
awesome.
Crazy. And so 96% of the kids that are graduating are going on to 4-year better colleges. I mean, that area there, like Garfield High School, yeah. Roosevelt, it's like, I mean, the dropout ratio is what?
Huge, yeah.
50%. So we're proud of that school.
That's proud of that school. Awesome,
that's pretty
dude.
Cool.
That's so cool.
Yeah. It's cool that they're motivated. You know, they're like, they're proud. They feel proud, you know, so it's pretty cool.
The hospital, the school, and Homeboy's also got a freaking statue in front of Staples Center. That tripped me out.
We should tie a Casa Mexico tequila bottle around
the
glove. You
that'd
know,
be
like,
tight
dude,
right
that'd
there.
That'd be crazy.
Let's go do that and put a picture right there.
That'd be cool.
But when they asked you about that, like, hey, we want to put a statue, or did you suggest, how does that work? I'm sure a lot of people want statues in front of, a statue's forever.
Yeah, it's forever, man. So you know, what's cool about it is that, you know, all the people and all the kids that, you know, when they go watch a Laker game or a Clippers game or whatever, a Kings game or even a fight, it's like, you know, kids, I mean, I get pictures sent every day. Like, you know, hey, I took a picture in front of your statue, and that makes me feel proud. It's like inspirational, you know?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're on the corner of the ring, no? Or like, no, standing on the turnbuckles.
Yeah. That's when I fought. You remember Maromero Paez?
Yeah, of course.
That's when I fought him. I had knocked him out. I ran to the corner. The corner
he
there.
He fell forward. You knocked him out with an uppercut. He fell forward. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I remember all that.
He did a flip. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was crazy. And so I ran up to the ring, and so they captured that moment there, and that's the statue. That's what. Yeah.
I love that, man.
That's pretty cool.
Did you ever think of what you would do if fighting didn't work out? What did you want to do?
Architect. I want to be an architect.
Really?
Yeah.
Can
yeah.
you draw?
Yeah, bro. I took
really? portrait.
No, I actually took like architectural drafting classes, and
I love
like, you know, plans and numbers and this and that. Yeah.
Sound like a real job. All
so right. I actually designed my compound in Big Bear, where I used to train. So the whole training facility and all that, I designed it. With the help of a real architect.
Yeah.
We designed it, and so that was actually my passion.
Oh wow.
Yeah, it was
that's
crazy.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't think I've ever asked you that right there.
Yeah.
Aren't you so happy in a sense that we grew up, especially in during our perro years, that there was no social media?
Oh, bro.
You know what I mean? Can you imagine, bro? Can you imagine if like that, where there's no social media? But even now, Oscar, like, look, we've all had like shit written about us and this and that,
Of course, yeah.
But dude, you're like Teflon, bro. It doesn't matter. It rolls off. It doesn't matter. I was talking about like, it doesn't matter. It's, you know what I mean? Which I think is a credit to you because of all the good stuff you've done. You know what I mean? You get beloved and whatever. And now it's like, you know, shit comes up, whatever. And it kind of rolls off. But I feel fortunate that I wasn't. Don't you feel happy about that? That we weren't in like an era that we came.
No, it's good. It's. I mean, look. I mean, like the past and all the shit and this and that, whatever. It's like if you grow from it, if you learn from it, if you become better and bigger and you know, and wiser, and you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, because people could look. Everybody
because,
fucks up. Dude.
Yeah, because everybody now fucks up. Because now you can use it. You use it and you can influence somebody else in a positive way, you know.
Right.
It's like I don't mind talking about my past. I really don't. It's like, because I've accepted everything that I've done, you know. That was like my fucking pendejo years, you know, like. But then you grow, you learn, you live it, and you become bigger, you know. You become a real person.
Yeah.
And a real role model, a real somebody that can really impact somebody in a positive way.
Yeah.
That's what, you know, I try to tell people that it's okay, dude. Don't be ashamed of nothing that we've ever done in the past.
Everybody messes up. As long as you know, learn from it, recognize it. You know what I mean? You can grow from
it.
You gotta own it.
You gotta own it.
Good for you, man.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this weekend. I'm fired up. Canelo versus Jacobs. This is a real fight. This dude seems very confident. He's a big guy. Eddie Hearn, who I told you not long, very confident that he's going to be victorious.
Yeah.
this weekend, which gets me all fired up. I'm happy to be there. Going to be calling the weigh-in, and we'll be in the fight in person. It's always such an event for Cinco de Mayo weekend. What can we look forward to, man?
Look, I've seen Canelo train many times, you know, preparing for this fight. He's only getting better. It's crazy. It's mind-boggling that, yeah, he's young, but he's getting better. I mean, his punches are getting stronger. His speed is, like, phenomenal. But what I really love about him is that his footwork is just getting, it's getting better. He's getting better. I have no doubt in my mind, okay, that Jacobs is going to be difficult for Canelo the first few rounds. But once he starts stalking him, once he starts trading punches,
those body shots start landing.
Because once the body shots start landing, once Jacobs starts getting brave, because this is what I love about Jacobs. Jacobs starts getting brave. You know, he can throw those punches, those combinations. He's fast, his footwork, but he's too brave for his own good. Meaning, like, he likes trading punches when he, you know, it's like, yeah. You remember we fought Golovkin, Triple G, and he started trading punches, and he's like, yeah, you know, kind of like, okay, what else do you have, you know?
It's right.
So he gets brave.
Yeah, that gets dangerous, though.
Oh, it gets dangerous, especially with Canelo. Yeah. I have Canelo knocking out Jacobs, like, in the 9th, 10th, 11th round.
Ooh, I like that. I like that prediction. That's going to be great. Yeah.
But this is going to be one of those fights where a lot of action. It's not going to be easy. It's going to be difficult. Canelo said it over and over. It's going to be a difficult fight because of Jacobs' style.
Right, and Jacobs is got the height advantage, the reach advantage. He'll probably be the bigger man in the ring that night. Yeah. This is a real fight. Definitely be sure to check it out. And what's great about this fight, again, it's like a big event. The whole weekend makes it like a great, great event and a great party. So I'm looking forward to it. And Oscar, I'm looking forward to hanging again, bro. We're going to go paintballing this next time,
Let's
right?
Let's do it again. What? Yeah.
This fool, he invited me to paintball the last time. I couldn't go because I was working the day, but now he wants to use like these hard real balls or little pellets or whatever.
Like paintballs?
We have a buddy. His name is Jerry. He freezes the paintballs.
Oh yeah,
what?
Yeah.
No, he freezes them,
right? Yeah.
That's the worst because they won't break. They won't break.
Well, they won't break. They break right through your skin. Yeah.
I'm gonna bring my homie who's in the army so we can shoot. So that sounds good, man. Hey, thanks for hanging out.
Awesome. Cheers.
Salud. So don't forget, new episodes of Listen to Mario dropping every Friday on WithMario.com to catch up on the podcast. And please make sure you follow Listen to Mario on iHeartRadio and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get podcasts. More fun next week. Thank you so much for listening.